Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
So, you know, we come to the beginning of the year. Many people come up with a word, you know, this is my word for the year, or, you know, have these New Year's resolutions, and it's like, I'm going to work out more, I'm going to be healthier, you know, I'm going to read 42 books. If you do, let me know, because that's a lot of books. And I'm a slow reader. And you say all these things, you know, and so I just figured I'd start with a word. I got a great word for you guys today. I'm going to speak on increase, okay? This is what everybody wants to hear, right? Increase, right? All right. John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Got you. I got you. I got you. And in 29, it says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And he's speaking here of how him stepping back, this is John, he's like stepping back and saying, listen, I came to speak to you and to baptize and to do these great things, but you don't understand, it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me at all, any of the time. This is not about me. He says, and look, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. And you can't, like, I love this because he's like, I am so excited. You don't understand. I'm so excited, and it's not because I'm the guy. I'm the friend of the guy. But I am so excited because I get to be his friend, and I get to hear his words. I get to be around him. He's the one that it's about, but I get to be here right next to him. And so many times we start thinking of ourselves, and especially in the beginning of the year, about what we need to do and how we need to grow and all these things. And those things are great. We all need to grow. Don't get me wrong. We should set goals. We should grow. We should learn. All these things. But we have to understand that it's not about us. It is not about us. It's about him. And just like John says here, just like it says in this scripture, that whenever he increases, whenever he increases and I decrease, it doesn't take away my joy. It actually fulfills. It fulfills our joy. Because we get to see all that he is going to do. Because we get to be with him in these things. He says, my joy can increase. His joy was full. And listen, I love that in these scriptures, you know, I mean, people, you know, you can try to pick out and pick through and get these scriptures to say, you know, things that make you feel good. And in this scripture, you can be like, man, my joy could be full. But you can't separate it from the him increasing and us decreasing. You can't separate these two points, these two scriptures that are right here, intertwined and woven together. So I want to talk a little bit about some aspects that we need to increase. And we need to increase in our love for him. We need to increase in our love for him. In Luke 10, 27, it says, "So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" So now this is Jesus asking. Somebody's like, "Hey, what do I need to do to get to heaven?" And Jesus is like, "Well, what does it say? What do the scriptures tell you?" And he's like, "Well, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your understanding, and love your neighbors as yourself." He says, "You said right." And it's interesting because we many times can say, "Oh, I love God. Oh, I love him so much. He's my God. He saved me. I just love God." But then turn around and the way that we act or walk or think opposes what we were just saying. And you know, so many times we can even do it without even knowing. Right? I mean, the scripture, it says that we should even hate our mother and our father. You're like, "What? Wait, how does it say that?" That's not exactly what it means. It just means that we should love God. We should know him and love him so much that it should seem like that compared to God, nothing else in this world even seems like we like it because I love him so much. Our love for him set up at such a high bar that everything else is just down here. We need to love him that much. Exodus 23, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And you're like, "I don't have any idols in my house." You may not have any little statues. We may not have statues that we worship. But too many times we can end up worshiping the things that we have created or worshiping the things that we have acquired. And I'm not saying you sing to them, but some maybe you do. I don't know. You know, your old car, your old record collection, I don't know what it is. But sometimes we can take and value something in this life, this mortal, earthly world, more than God. I mean, think about it. I've thought about it. Actually, not too long. I was like, "Man, what would I grab in my house if it started burning? What would I grab in my house?" Who thought Bible? Who thought your books that talk to you about God? See, and I'm not saying that makes you a sinner. I'm just saying, how are we viewing things? Because you could probably be like, "Well, my baseball card collection and my guns and you know, that picture, you know, signed, autographed, you know, picture, I'm going to grab that." You know, all these things. And so many times these things can be elevated in our minds so much. Doesn't mean we can't have special things. But what I'm saying, how much do you value those things and how do they compare to your love of your Savior, of the one who created everything? See, that's the thing. Those things are special. But where does God rate? Where does Jesus stand in those things? because compared to those things, they should be on the floor. They're nothing. That is how much we should love our God. We need to return to our first love. Our first love. In Proverbs 3, starting in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." We need to increase our trust in Him. Like, oh, I trust God. I'm going to say this every single time I give you a point. I'm going to say, I love God. That's what we say. Oh, I trust God. That's what we say. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We need to increase our trust in Him. And we say, I trust God. But think about, even the past week, the past 2 weeks, I don't know. And so many times our mind can go to where, oh, well, I can do this. Oh, well, this is going to be a tough week, but if I just put on my boots and walk through it strong, and I'm like, well, okay, you need to. But who's getting you through, you or God? You might be able to make it without God this week, but let me tell you, I can't remember the reference, but there's scripture that says that a stronger man will come. It's like you might be able to take care of this one, but the next one's going to be stronger, and the next one's going to be stronger than that. So how much are you going to lean on your own understanding? Because it's only going to get you so far. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. In all our ways, just acknowledging Him, trusting Him, trusting who He is, trusting that He cares for us, that He has a good plan for us, trusting that He knows what we need. And how many times do we step out and not even acknowledge Him? Look, you don't have to raise your hand. I will raise my hand. Many times we do that. There's nobody that is above that. We step out. But what we need to do is, when we realize that, we need to step back. Say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't even acknowledge you in that. Let me tell you a little story. I love this because I feel like, and I've been told I'm a good negotiator. And whenever I was pretty young, our house in Valley Park, we weren't planning on selling it, but actually the Catholic church that was right behind us called us and said, we want to buy it. And I was like, well, I mean, everything's for sale. Do you know how much you want to pay? And they're like, well, they don't really want to pay that much. I was like, okay, well, I mean, I don't want to sell then. Long story short, you know, I was just being confident in who I was and what I had, and that they wanted it. See, that's one of the things about being a good negotiator. They want what you got. You have the power. Okay. But we're not talking about us. We're talking about God. But the thing is that I am a good negotiator. I can, you know? I get excited when we go to the car dealership and they try to get more than the car is even worth. And I'm like, I ain't going to pay it. You want to sell that car more than I want to buy it. But the thing is, in this, I've realized that I can take and think so highly of myself. So highly of myself. And forget that it's God who made me. Even in anything you can think of. Your abilities, your talents, all these things. You can say, wow, look at me. But when we step back, we should say, wow, look what God created. Yeah, that's it. See, anything that I have, anything that you have, anything that we can do is because God has placed it in us. It's Him. Yes, maybe I or you could, we could do something great, but it is Him that has placed it in you. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Sometimes I'm a wise guy. I get wise in my own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So you need to decrease your big head. That's what it says. Your head's big, make it smaller. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord. How big is God? It's not running scared from God because He's a tyrant. It's a healthy fear of a God that is so big, that a God that created the universe, a God that created everything, created every cell, every part of who you are. And seeing Him with such reverence and respect that there's this fear of displeasing Him. A fear of trusting in your own understanding. Of my head getting too big. Because I'm seeing myself and not seeing Him. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It's so interesting because we do these things, you know. I do. I want to work out all the time. I want to be healthy. I want to eat healthy, and I don't usually. I want to work out, and I don't usually. And we do need to do those things. But I love that it says all these things as we trust Him with all our heart. Don't lean on our own understanding. Don't get a big head and have a fear of who God is because He's so big, not your head. That these things will be health to us. These things will strengthen our bones. It's not that He's going to say, sit on the couch, do nothing, be lazy. He's not going to do that. As we trust Him, as we follow Him, as we walk with Him, He's going to speak things to us that cause us to do these New Year's resolutions. But how much more will we want to do them when He is calling us into them instead of ourselves? See, if I set one, I'll be like, well, you know, I just do that every year. But if God says, you need to do this, I'm probably going to listen more. I'm going to stick with it better. Because God has told me. Trust in Him. Wow. In Luke 17, verse 5, it says, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. We need to increase our faith. You say, oh, I told you I was going to do that every time. Oh, my faith is so strong. I trust God. I believe. The apostle said, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So they ask him, they say, Jesus, please, just help us to increase our faith. We want our faith to be bigger. They had this, maybe this twisted understanding of like, somehow I, you know, you can help me, but somehow my faith will be so big that people will see that I have big faith. And Jesus said to him, I love this. He's like, listen, if you just have the faith the size of a mustard seed. And what is he saying? He's not, I don't think he's trying to like ridicule them and say, you guys are stupid. I think he's trying to show them something. There's like, I need big faith. He's like, you don't need big faith. You just need a big God. Even the tiniest bit of faith in a big God creates a big impact. He says, you're seeing it wrong. It's not something that you can do or you can have. You just have to have a little bit of faith in a big God. Because, see, God is bigger than anything that could stand in front of you, any obstacle that might be in front of you. It might look big to you, probably look big to you. And if you think about it as, oh, man, I need to have a lot of faith. My faith needs to be bigger than this obstacle. Then somehow, then all that responsibility falls on you, like that you are going to do something. Because your faith, that our faith has to be big. But he says, listen, it's not that your faith has to be big. You just have to understand that your God's big. That I can say, I got this little bit of faith, God, but you're so big. That this little bit of faith and trust, it may not seem like it's enough to me to conquer this mountain, to throw this mountain to the sea, or this mulberry bush just to like, you know, rip it up from its roots. It may not seem big enough, but God, my faith, it's in you. And you are bigger than anything that could stand in front of me. See, that faith, what it's doing is not like, sometimes we feel like it's us doing something, and I already said that, but I feel like somehow we're doing something by having faith. But our faith is just taking ourselves and putting ourselves into God's hands. God, I'm even small compared to this mountain in front of me. I'm tiny. How could I even have a faith that towers over this mountain? He's saying it's not about the size. But you need to trust. You need to have faith. And I'm not saying, see, let me clarify. I'm not saying, oh, I kind of believe. Oh, I kind of trust. Oh, I kind of have faith. No, I'm saying we are full on in faith that God is going to move. But we can't see it in size. We see stuff in size and time and all this stuff. That's how we see things. You know how everything looks to God? Small. You know, whenever things get small enough, you can't really even tell the size. You know, it's like, I can't tell if that's any bigger or smaller. It's just all small. All the issues, all the problems, all the things that are going to happen this year, everything that you could possibly come against or that will come against you, everything, every day that you're going to step into, to God, it is all no problem. To God, it's all good. It's all small. It's no issue. So seeing things in size doesn't help us. All we need to see is how big God is. Our faith placed firmly in who He is, that He is going to direct our paths, that He is going to get us through. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Listen, this is not a literal thing. It's not that you're going to close your eyes and try to walk out the building. You'll run into the door. But the point of this scripture is, listen, as we've been talking about, not seeing the size of things. It's all small to God. It's all something that can be handled to Him. I walk by faith, not by sight. I don't look at this obstacle in front of me and see it. What I see is God, because I am walking in faith. I don't see something that's going to be hard to get through. I see God getting me through it. I don't see something that's going to trip me up. I see God that's going to hold me and walk me through it. We walk by faith, not by sight. We need to increase our passion for Jesus, our passion and love for Him, for making Him known. See, in all these things, we say we need to increase our trust. We need to increase our love. We need to increase our faith. What should all these things be doing in us? It should be increasing a passion for who He is, that our heart is burning for Him. And what should that do? It should cause us to be a light to those around us. It should cause, see, people should see you and say, I need what they have. I need that joy. I need that peace. I've seen them. They've walked through struggles. They've walked through things, and they've walked through it with strength, integrity. They didn't fall. They didn't start cussing people out. They didn't do all this stuff. They walked through, and it might have been hard, but they got through, and they trusted God. And people need to see a people that can do that. And sorry to say, that I don't feel like there's been a ton of people that I've seen on Facebook that have done that this year. Even with everybody posting just the good stuff. People need to see the strength and the power of God in our lives as we walk out each day of our lives. That is what, listen, you say, well, you're called to preach to people. We're all called. We're all called. Not one is called to a greater thing than the other. None of us. I may be up here speaking to you. Maybe you will be up here speaking at some point. Maybe that's what God's called you to. But we're all called to speak of who He is. We're all called to have such a passion for Him that it lights a fire everywhere that we go. That lives are changed because we are there, but it's not because we're there, but it's because He's there. Because His love, His grace, is with us. And just to end this, in 1 Corinthians 3:6, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God, look, increase is what we're talking about and the things that we need to increase. But what we need to understand, that no matter what you're talking about, it's God that gives the increase. He is the one. People are saying, hey, what about Apollos? What about Paul? And who should we follow? What? Who's better? You know, he did this, he did that. He's like, listen. He watered. He did a few things. I did a few things. But it's not about what we did. It's about the God that gives the increase. It's all about who he is. He said, it doesn't matter. Like, Apollos did amazing things. I might do amazing things. But God is the one that we should look to. Don't look to a person. Look to God. Don't look to yourself. Look to God. He's the one. He's the one, right? He's the one that heals. He's the one that restores. He's the one that we need. He's everything that we need. And in this, as we say, increase your love, your faith, your trust, and that should increase your passion for who he is. Even in those things, understanding that the only reason we can increase anything toward God is because he's given us the ability to do it. It's all because of him. It's all because of him. Amen. So would you stand up with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.